crack, brew crack, zip-a-doo-ba-doo-bum, brew crack.
Who's the weirdo with a fucking movie studio in the middle of a field?
Okay, hi guys, welcome back to another Brew Crack. Today we have invited Wicklow Wolf on. Reason being is because the whole month of May we are focusing on sustainable and environmental practices. And when we started looking, like, it was unbelievable the amount of articles and work that Wicklow Wolf are doing. So we had to invite John on to talk a little bit more about your efforts and your practices at Wicklow Wolf. So first of all, John, I'd love you to tell us a little bit about yourself, Wicklow Wolf, and your background, of course.
Yeah, no problem. My name is John Allen. I'm production manager here at Wicklow Wolf. I joined the guys here at the start of 2019. So just before the new brewery was still being built. So it was kind of, the walls were kind of halfway up at that stage. So, and some of the equipment had been bought, the brew house and stuff like that. So I kind of came in just in time to get all that in and buy some other bits and pieces, get it all integrated, piped in, get water and gas and all those things you need into the building, and get everything up and running on this site. And then we kind of transitioned from Bray down to Newtown Mount Kennedy, which is like going from a shoebox to a mansion. So it was a big change. But yeah, myself, I've been brewing now for probably about 11 years now. So I went to I did biotech in Maynooth, and after that I went to Heriot Watt, and then after that I came back to Ireland in 2008, which was pathetically bad timing, as there was no jobs in anything, let alone brewing. But there's very few breweries in Ireland full stop at that stage. You know, it was before the kind of the boom had even really kicked off in the UK. So I very quickly turned and went back to the UK, and I worked for Diageo actually for maybe a year as a contractor, worked in innovation. So new product development and stuff like that. Not really beer related, but kind of more kind of RTDs and spirits and stuff like that. Which was based just outside London, which then gave me a chance to move into London, where I worked for Fuller's for about a year and a half as well, which is great. And I worked in the lab there, which was fantastic. I got a great sounding on beer quality, got an introduction to cask beer, which, you know, as an Irish person, was a complete novelty, and really got an appreciation for that style of beer, which can be kind of hard for people who don't come from an area where it's very prevalent. And Fuller's is an ancient, they were brewing on that site, I think, for maybe 230 or 40 years. So that was an old, old site. Like, we didn't even know where half the drains went. You know, it was, it's a really, really cool old brewery. Makes some of the best cask beer and some of the best beer still in the UK. It's fantastic, fantastic opportunity. And then from there, I went traveling and I went to Australia, and I worked in Little Creatures in Fremantle, just outside Perth. And I spent about 2 years there, and that was brilliant. That was just, although it was working every day, it was working about 45 degrees heat, because it's already hot outside, and then you got a brew house kicking out loads of heat as well. So I lost about five kilos in the first couple of weeks of water. I think it was just water. I think it was just so hot all the time. Then a couple of years there, I moved to Brewdog in the UK, in Scotland, which I think everyone knows of, but just as they built their new brewery. So I was with them for 6 years, where they went from a small brewery in the northeast of Scotland to probably one of the biggest, or the biggest independent brewery in the UK, and probably one of the biggest craft breweries in the world now. So so working there for 6 years is probably like having four different careers in one. And then got to know the lads here at Wicklow Wolf, was chatting to them, you know, got to talking about their plans with the new brewery and what the investments that they made. And it was a really cool opportunity to come home, which I didn't think I really would do. I hadn't really planned to do, but it was a really good opportunity to come back to Ireland and work in brewing, which, and the scene here, like just in a couple of years, you know, of coming over and back, the scene in Ireland went from, you know, a handful of great breweries and all of a sudden just exploded. And now to the stage where there's just, our beers are as good as any other country in the world, I think now. And we're pushing the boat out with different styles and trying new things and, you know, putting our own twist on it as well. So I think it's fantastic to see. Just show, I think Ireland's a great example of where a country can just turn on its head and really adopt and embrace craft beer and you know, anything artisan, a little bit of spirits or food. I think this country's become fantastic for all of that now. So yeah, I'm happy here in Wicklow now. We're just ramping up things in at the brewery here, trying to stretch our legs and expand in Ireland and out into the world. And you know, that's what the equipment here allows us to do, and allows us to do very efficiently and sustainably as well, which is an added bonus. But yeah, the investment here.
God, you mentioned some big names there. You definitely have a broad range of experience.
I have all this grey in my beard.
That's all your experience.
That's my experience there coming out of my face.
But look, you know, you touched on, Wilco Wolf made the move from a small brewery, I suppose, to a larger facility. And I read up a little bit on the reasoning behind that, and it was a lot of it was because for more sustainable practices. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about the move and the plans for the future or moving forward in the new facility.
I think the guys, the Wicklow Wolf, they've been around a decent amount of time, maybe just before the most recent big wave of breweries coming through, so probably a pretty well known beer brand in the country. And you know, the demand was high, has been high, and the guys needed a new facility but wanted to stay in Wicklow. So it's actually quite tricky to find somewhere to build a brewery in Wicklow, find the right site. It's in this part of the world, but they managed to find a great place in Newtown. And the guys as well, fair play to them that they had the foresight to really not cheap out on the equipment and what they were trying to do. We have a fantastic Braukon 35 hectoliter brew kit, and they could have gotten something a bit cheaper and not had kind of some of the bells and whistles that we have on this, but because they spent that extra money, we have all the great things in terms of to make a brew house not only consistent but more sustainable. So we have a lot of additions to the brew house which really improve the sustainability of the brew kit itself. So what I would have seen a brew dog and little creatures in those big brew kits from some of the biggest manufacturers in the world, we had the same technology here in our brew kit. So things like our work kettle, as we're boiling, the steam doesn't get vented out the roof, it goes through, it gets captured in a vapor condenser, which basically is a heat exchanger, so it catches all the heat that we're losing out of the boil. Instead of that going out the chimney, we're using that to heat water. So that hot water then goes into our hot water tank, which is then used to then mash in later on. So we're not using more gas and steam to generate more hot water. We're capturing that heat energy, which is a massive saving on gas. And, you know, it really is a very efficient piece of kit. And then also when we're casting out, we're using cold water to chill our wort down, and then the hot water is getting reclaimed into our hot water tank as well. And so it's very efficient, and as well, it's very well designed. You know, it's designed with efficiency in mind to get the best quality beer with the lowest amount of input, whether it be steam or whether it be air usage or whatever it is. Like, you know, it really is big brewery technology on a small scale, which then means that, you know, like we've recently had a company come and audit our utilities usage, and they were blown away by our gas consumption, you know, per hectoliter production, saying that we're with the equipment that we've invested in, we're already on par with very large manufacturers, like very, very large manufacturers, which is fantastic and a sign of how that investment has paid off. You know, so
as the and John, would you say, like, is it much more, is there been a significant reduction in energy consumption in the new facility compared to Bray?
It would be. And in Bray, it's small. It was a small little bakery in the middle of the town. Everything was electrically driven, so the kettle was electric and all the heating was electric. And it's expensive and not quite as efficient as having a steam generator. And it's more expensive as well. And it was, you know, very basic equipment. You know, you've got just elements in the kettle, and it's quite a bit. They're not very, very efficient in terms of the energy that they use. So there's a massive improvement. But then also in the cellar side on our CIP for cleaning tanks, you know, in Bray, we would just put the chemical in the tank, recirculate it, and then just dump it when it's clean. Whereas Now our CIP system is semi-automated, and once the cleaning fluid is loose, it gets reclaimed into the cleaning, into the storage tank, and it gets used again in the next cycle and the next cycle. And it means that we're recapturing that cleaning fluid, which means they're not, it dramatically reduces the amount of water that we use and the amount of chemical that we're sending to the drain. Like, so that allows keep us, like, I kind of track things on a per hectolitre pack basis. So the amount of gas, the amount of electricity, the amount of water that we use per hectolitre packed. And then you can use that then to compare yourselves to any industry really, but in the brewing industry, you know, very directly in America, there's lots of great data that you can compare yourself to, and you can really see where you sit. And, you know, even with just 1 year in this new brewery, we're trending, you know, just with the equipment we have, without having to really hone in on it and find where the savings we can make with what we have, we're already in a very, very good position compared to Braes, especially. And again, it's like most things, the more you pack, the bigger the volume you do, that, you know, the ratio of utility usage is, you know, is, it gets better. You know, you're using the more you use your equipment, the more efficient it is becoming.
Certainly one of the things about this industry, about the brewing industry, that I love is how open source a lot of the data is. So, like, the fact that you're able to go to some of the best breweries in the States, for example, and get their usage per hectoliter in terms of gas or electricity or water per hectoliter pack. Like, there's a lot of industries aren't able to benchmark against their peers like that, but we can in this. And it's just another example of how collaborative that the craft brewing really industry can be with each other, which is amazing. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's and as well, you can. With it being such a communal industry, is that you and for myself, I've worked in different parts of the world, so I give lots of people that I link in with, and like from big breweries like Sierra Nevada to small little breweries in the UK and Australia, and you can ask people questions, and people love to help out their, you know, fellow brewers, and you know, you're not reinventing the wheel. Like, you know, especially in Ireland, we're behind the global trend, I would say, of craft beer. So there's lots of small breweries have grown and have started tackling these issues and have been down this road already. So you can speak to them and learn from their experiences, and you can learn what worked, what didn't work, and really make a lot of good progress just by the open nature of the business and the industry, and just really touching base with those people. And again, there's the things like the Brewers Association in America, which is a massive organization in a massive country, and they're working to gather all this industry-wide data that we can join, even though we're not in America, you can still join that, and you get access to all this amazing information and data and papers and, you know, best practices and things like that. And that goes beyond sustainability, you know, beer quality, everything really to do with beer and raw materials and things like that. It's fantastic.
John, which area of his like energy consumption or inputs or utility consumption are you looking forward to targeting next and trying to improve upon?
I think for us, the as we grow in particular, the more volume we do, the bigger impact it'll have on our gas usage and electricity usage and water usage. You know, there's certain things that you're using a baseline of those utilities all the time, regardless of the volume. But the more you produce, you know, the more effective you are with those utilities. But I think for me, the interesting thing in the next 10 years, I think across all industries, will be the electrification of everything. You know, our cars will become electric. Our houses, you know, new houses are now just electric with, you know, using heat pumps and things like this. And that will become, that's already accessible in large industries and large breweries and production facilities who have the budget. But more and more you're seeing that come down in size and be accessible to kind of smaller businesses like ourselves. And I think as well, I think Ireland is a great opportunity where you can become very community focused. So you could have a cooperative where a group of businesses or towns or whatever it might be would get together and could set up an anaerobic digestion plant, and you can have farmers and dairies and all these different industries that have waste products that can be very, very high energy value for somewhere like that, can work together in a cooperative way, create a circular economy within their area. And I think for Ireland, you know, with that community sense, the sensibility we already have, and needing, being very kind of agriculturally based, which is a big generator of this great opportunity for people to really make headway into that as a working together, as opposed to everyone just working in little bubbles. And, you know, and I see more and more companies seeing that opportunity and saying, okay, look, if you people want to get together, then, you know, we can build the infrastructure and we can manage it. You can own it, or there can be maybe some sort of leasing agreement, or, you know, something like that. And it allows people to take control of it, you know, or tapping into wind farms that are being built and things like that. And I think it's bringing the large scale sustainability practices that large industries have and having them accessible to smaller businesses like ourselves, you know, is really exciting. And as well, everyone you work with is now looking at sustainability more more closely, whether it be the guys who pick up the bins, whether it be the hop suppliers, whether it be the malt suppliers, whether it be, you know, people providing key kegs, you know, everything, everyone has this focus now of, okay, where can I make that reduction? So if one of those guys makes a big leap or, you know, a step forward, then I do as well, you know, in terms, and Wicklow Wolf do in terms of what we're trying to do. So it's that kind of, it's, you really sense that change in the last couple of years in the brewing industry where, and they will, all industries and everyone, it's like now the number one kind of KPI for people is sustainability. You know, what's our impact on the environment? And then, you know, the rising tide, you know, the rising tide raises all ships in that nature. So, but it will be interesting to see where, like, brewing is an energy intensive business, and it to become more sustainable, you know, you need to look at, okay, well, where is the biggest impact? Okay, we use gas, you know, we need to generate heat and generate steam. But yeah, so that'll have to become electric at some stage, you know, but that technology isn't really exist at this scale yet, but in 2 or 3 years time, it probably will. And the infrastructure will hopefully be there in terms of getting that supply. So it'll be, you know, and then once everything is kind of electrified, then that makes it easier to be more sustainable. When, you know, when you're burning gas, you're burning gas.
Yeah.
But there's other things we try to do to offset that as well.
Well, look, you touched on, you know, working with the community and the knock-on effect, and I understand that Wicklow Wolf has done some work on aiding biodiversity, I suppose. Could maybe tell us a little bit about that in the community as well?
Yeah. So we've got, like, so Simon, one of the founders, he's a horticulturist by trade. That's his day job. And before Wicklow Wolf was a brewery, we actually had a hop farm and some land up there that we own. And Simon has started planting hops, his own hops, and tending to those. And that's kind of a part of the business that we're now looking to expand on. So we have some beehives up there as well. We've got a polytunnel, which, you know, we're hoping to bring into action to, you know, kind of grow some unique ingredients that we can use in our beers that, you know, wouldn't otherwise grow in, say, in just in the normal outside climate. And then the last couple of weeks, there's a lot of work going in. We now have hops planted in the ground down at the brewery. So the bit of green space we had, we've got poles up, we've got the wires up, and we've hops in the ground. So, you know, maybe not this year, but the year after, coming around to harvest time, you'll see these amazing hop vines all surrounding the brewery. Like, you know, so we just opened a tap room as well. So people who have come for a beer and see the hops there and actually understand what hops are, because people have no idea. People know how, they know the word hops, but they have no idea what a hop is. And that's fair enough. It's a very, very unique. It's just using one business. So, you know, it's kind of unique like that. So it's that's, yeah. And then up on the, for the last locavore that we did, the locavore Irish stout in towards the back end of last year, we used grain that was grown in the field out the back. So we had a local farmer who owns the field. We got some grain in. We got him to plant our grain in the ground, and then we harvested it and we sent it off to get malted just over the Wicklow border, and took that back in. And now we kind of use that as a base malt for our local board beers and other beers as well. So it's kind of small, circular. Now, we're not going to replace our whole malt supply with that. It's not practical, but, you know, it's more about the ideology of it and showing that we're trying to, in whatever way we can, be more sustainable, but also promote it and show it as a unique selling point for our beers. And, like, you know, it's a hard thing to do, to be able to kind of try and source your ingredients like that. So it's our own malt that we've grown harvested, our own hops that we've grown harvested. The yeast is the yeast. You know, we don't have our own yeast, but we're looking at isolating wild yeast strains from our own environment out here as well. And then with the off the back of that beer, we had a QR code on the label, which allowed people to scan it and they could choose to offset the carbon used that was, you know, used to create that beer. And also we planted 2,000 trees up on the hop farm as well. So for every 3 cans we planted a tree, or for every can we planted 3 trees. I can't remember now off the top of my head. But
yeah.
Yeah, so it's things like that.
That's the main thing, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It's just trying to think outside the box. Like, it's one of the things, we're a small company and we're just trying to do our bit. You know, a lot of people will always make the argument, well, what can we do when you have massive countries belching out lots of CO2? But, you know, if that was the attitude everyone took, we wouldn't get anything done, like, you know. And for your own moral compass, and for us as a company, we have our kind of our moral ideology as a company that we're trying to live up to. Like, you know, there's loads and loads that we still need to do, but bit by bit, trying different things and trying to think outside the box and see what technologies are out there. And, you know, even with the investments we've already made, like, you can, you know, we've been able to do that. And, you know, it's something we're really proud of.
Look, no, it is. Sorry, Joan, I was just going to say, it is important to... Well, first of all, I'm not sure whether I should feel slightly threatened by your investment in hop production and malt production.
Oh, it's at least, it's about maybe two acres, I'd say. You know, it's we're coming for you.
Yeah, every start somewhere, you know, definitely. So there's that. But no, the Lochinvory project, I always thought was fantastic. And, you know, they're great. They've been, not only are they great beers, but the story behind them and the rationale behind them has been always been particularly interesting. And, you know, taking things from a farm setting and trying to add a sustainable aspect to how a farm is run is something that, you know, I understand because it's something we try and work on here just around the fields. And I think you're right. If people take the attitude that, like, you know, big countries are massive CO2 emitters, what can I do? Well, then nothing will ever get done. But if all of us make a small step, well, then together, big steps can be taken. And whether it's, like you said, planting trees around a farm, something like what we've done, or adding some beehive. It is important to try and make do a little things, because it's by doing little things together that we can all achieve big things. And whether that's planting trees on a farm like what you've done or what we've done here, or adding beehives, or just generally being more environmentally conscious and aware of what it is we do on a day-to-day basis. Together we can help reduce CO2 emissions, we can improve biodiversity, and we can make sure that the world we leave is a little bit better than it was when we got here. And that's it's a great ethos that you guys have, and it's certainly something that we share very much as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and look, I think it's a good way to move into or my next question is in terms of waste management, because I know we do quite a lot, and James is very passionate about recycling and waste management. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about what Wicklow Wolf do in terms of that.
Yeah, so I think one of the like I mentioned before, the with the equipment that we have, you know, our water consumption is excellent, you know, per hectoliter packed. You know, it's already, you know, it doesn't mean it can't get better, and it will get better, but we're already at a much better place for that. And obviously, even in Ireland, water is a commodity, and it's becoming one of the most important and kind of desperately needed commodities in the world. And we need to look after that from start to finish. And it's the biggest part of biggest ingredient that we use in our beer. So we want to be responsible with how we use it, and, you know, use what we need, but not be neglectful of or wasteful with that. That being said, we still use water, but I know that we are at a good level in regards to that. Like, you know, again, with the equipment that we have, and it's a very hard thing for brewers to tackle. You know, we're lucky that we were able to invest in the equipment. That's not impossible for everyone, and you kind of just have to do the best with what you have. But I think every brewer, large to small, can really be very mindful of the water usage that they are consuming and how they're using it, and do they need to do it. And you see lots of breweries doing small little things, like, you know, even how often they hose the floors, or how do they clean, or what do they clean with, and all these little things, like, you know, like all those little steps that, you know, so for us on the wastewater side, then we try and divert a portion of our waste, the high solids waste, like, so hops, yeast, things like that are coming out of our tanks, we'll actually, instead of that going to the drain, we'll separate that into IBCs. And we'll send those IBCs off to an anaerobic digestion plant to be used as a fuel source for that, which means we're not having to put it into the municipal waste supply, which, you know, it's just more difficult to deal with than water or more liquid waste. So that's one part that we're also looking at, how can we go further. And that's kind of why I was talking about that AD, that circular economy thing, because I have heard it talked about, you know, with farmers and with opportunities in rural communities to kind of generate a circular economy. And it's, for me, it's something that's quite interesting. You see a lot of breweries, larger breweries, investing in on-site AD plants to, you know, to generate to deal with their waste, but also to generate some a fuel source as well. Again, that's one thing that, you know, would have only been available to the large multinational producers, but more and more those things are scaling down, and the technology is getting smarter and smaller, that it can be an opportunity, it can be an option for someone like us in the years to come to have something like that on site if there isn't something locally available for us too. So that's quite an interesting, it's a great thing when you can take one of your main waste sources and turn it into an energy source, and off the back of that generate energy and generate clean water. You know, that's kind of a no-brainer, but you know, this technology is developing, it is expensive, but you know, it's like smartphones, it's happening really, really quick, and the more that everyone wants it and needs, especially the consumer, like the consumer wants you to be as environmentally conscious as you can, which is a great motivator. So if you want it, your consumer wants it, and if everybody's in that kind of situation, then things start to progress quite quickly, you know. So it's a big part of us to divert that way. And that, and then outside of that, we're up to like our solids waste, like our plastics, our cardboards, our general waste. So, you know, we're doing what we can to separate our waste out at source and make sure that we're recycling absolutely everything we can. And, you know, speaking to the waste providers to ask them is like, you know, is there anything more we can do? Can we recycle this? Can we recycle that? And then down to what we use ourselves in terms of our packaging, you know, do you do four packs? Do you do kind of clippy top plastic things like that? We, you know, everything needs to be considered, you know, it may work in a business point of view in terms of sale, but then what's the consequence of that as well in terms of the environmental impact of it? And it's a big part of the reason we moved to, I think another one of your questions is about, you know, bottles, moving from bottles to cans. You know, Wicklow Wolf, the start and was founded as a brewery that bottled beer, like every brewery did in Ireland and most of the world. And in the last couple of years, that has changed very, very quickly, far quicker than I think a lot of producers could have foreseen. And for us moving to the new brewery, we had a choice to make. It's like, okay, do we knew bottle cans was where the whole industry is moving. So do we keep going with bottles? Do we do cans and bottles? Do we, you know, what do we only do cans? Where, what do we do? And, you know, when I came in, I was like, look, it's only going one way. We kind of shit or get off the pot, as they say. And we decided to just, look, we're just going to go for it. We're going through a new brewery, a rebrand. We're going to go into cans, and you know, the sustainability of cans versus bottles is very well documented from lots of different point of views, you know, from the weight of the material to transport and how much you can move in a given space and things like that. And it's better for the beer as well. So it's a win-win. It's just a question of are consumers there at that stage? And luckily in Ireland in the last couple of years, that has just happened so quickly. And other countries like France, where it's just starting, it will happen, and it'll be slow and slow, and then just all of a sudden it will turn. You know, anything that's better for the product and also better for the environment is the way to go. You know, and for us, it ticked all the boxes. Now, it wasn't easy, and you kind of a bit of blind faith that the consumer is ready for it, and they definitely in Ireland they are, and in lots of other countries they're way ahead of that. You know.
Okay. Look, I think we covered a lot of topics there. You deserve a wee drink there.
What time is it? It's 3 o'clock now.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. There you go.
quality sampling, yeah.
No, look, I think that's a lot of what we wanted to discuss in this episode covered. Have you any other news that you want to report or big plans for the future?
The big thing we have at the minute is, like I mentioned, we have our tap room, which we opened last week. We're one of the first breweries to kind of give this new tap room license a bit of a spin. So obviously everything's still shut down, but we've opened up last week for you know, for people to come and get takeaway growlers and cans on site, and we've got coffee and some nice local coffees and some cakes and pastries and things like that. So people can call in and get a beer or coffee and a little bit bite deep. But you know, that's just the starting point. And like, we're looking forward to being able to have people in around the brewery. We've got a nice space here at the foot of the Wicklow Mountains. So it's a gorgeous part of the world. There's a lot of normal times, there's a lot of tourism, a lot of people passing through. Yeah. So it'll be great to see that take off. I think it's one thing that will be phenomenal for the Irish beer industry is have that taproom culture be facilitated and then be allowed to blossom, to grow. Because you see it in other countries like the UK and America and so many countries. It's just, it's fantastic. You know, it's a great, like, they're really joyous places. People love to go to a brewery, have some good food, have some good beers, you know, get close to the product, you know, see what it is, see the people, meet the people who are making it, you know, in a unique environment. And I think, you know, people have been locked up for so long and not being able to go to the pub, I think people will be looking for something a bit more experiential and really go out there and see and experience new things. And you know, anyone who's been outside of Ireland and been to tap rooms and to breweries, and no matter what scale, it is. It's a really fun and interesting thing to do. And I think in Ireland, you combine that with the Irish hospitality, all the unique parts of the country and how they're all different and enjoyable places to visit. I think a lot of people maybe come from certain countries are a bit blown away that we don't have it already. You know, they kind of expect it. Oh, I'll go to this place. Oh, there's a brewery. I'll go to the brewery. I'll have a beer. I'll buy a beer. And then you arrive and it's like, sorry, I can't sell you a beer. The law doesn't allow it and blah, blah, blah. You know, I think it's very head scratching for tourists and for us as brewers. It's very, very head scratching to not be able to interact and sell your wares to the customer at your door and have them come in and see what you do and really give them a sense of your brewery and of your community and of your area. You know, that's it's a bit mind blowing. But I think that for me will be a massive thing in the coming years, because the more breweries that do it, the more traction it'll gain, the more benefit will be seen from the wider community, you know, from politicians, from everyone, you know, that they'll see this is it's a real asset to have in your community. And I think in like places like London and America and different cities, when breweries open up, house value goes up as well. I'm not guaranteeing that, but you know, just saying that if I move somewhere and I found out there's a brewery around the corner and I can just go have a beer, like that's I'm biased, but that's a pretty good selling point for me.
Yeah, well, look, I think I know where I'm heading on my staycation this year.
There you go.
It's such a beautiful part of the country as well.
It is.
So we're very fortunate. Look, I think that's everything. Thanks very much for coming on, James.
No worries. John, thanks very much for being here. It's great to catch up. It's been a while since we've seen each other. But I certainly enjoyed chatting today, and it's great to hear a little bit more about Wicklow Wolf's journey in trying to become that bit more environmentally aware and conscious and sustainable, and seeing echoes of what we've done as well is always interesting as well. So thanks very much for joining.
Oh, thanks, great. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to come and talk about what we're doing here and talk about it. It's great to talk to you guys, and hopefully we'll see you down here for a beer in person sometime in the next year.
Yeah,
can't wait.
And look, I think this conversation is definitely going to inspire others as well. So thanks.
Good to know. All right, guys. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.